Translation and purport, my divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Our dear friend Yashoda, your son sometimes comes to our houses before the milking of the cows and releases the calves. And when the master of the house becomes angry, your son merely smiles. Sometimes he devises some process by which he steals palatable curd, butter, and milk, which he then eats and drinks. When the monkeys assemble, he divides it with them. And when the monkeys have their bellies so full that they won't take more, he breaks the pots. Sometimes, if he gets no opportunity to steal butter or milk from a house, he will be angry at the householders. And for his revenge, he will agitate the small children by pinching them. Then, when the children begin crying, Krishna will go away. What a naughty boy. Okay, Srila Prabhupada's purport. Narration of Krishna's naughty childhood activities would be presented to Mother Yashoda in the form of complaints. Sometimes Krishna would enter the house of a neighbor, and if he found no one there, he would release the calves before the time for the cows to be milked. The calves are actually supposed to be released when their mothers are milked, but Krishna would release them before that time, and naturally the calves would drink all the milk from their mothers. When the cowherd men saw this, they would chase Krishna and try to catch him, saying, "Here is Krishna doing mischief." But he would flee and enter another house, where he would again devise some means to steal butter and curd. Then the cowherd men would again try to capture him, saying, "Here is the butter thief, better capture him." And they would be angry. But Krishna would simply smile, and they would forget everything. Sometimes, in their presence, he would begin eating the curd and butter. There was no need for Krishna to eat butter, since his belly was always full. Oh dear. But he would try to eat it, or else he would break the pots and distribute the contents to the monkeys. In this way, Krishna was always engaged in mischief making. If in any house he could not find any butter or curd to steal, he would go into a room and agitate the small children sleeping there by pinching them, and when they cried, he would go away. Jai Shri Krishna. All right. Hare Krishna. So, our dear friend Yashoda, your son sometimes comes to our house before the milking of the cows and releases the calves, and when the master of the house becomes angry, your son merely smiles. Sometimes he devises some process by which he steals palatable curd, butter, and milk, which he then eats and drinks. When the monkeys assemble, he divides it with them. And when the monkeys have their bellies so full that they won't take more, he breaks the pots. Sometimes, if he gets no opportunity to steal butter or milk from a house, he will be angry at the householders, and for his revenge, he will agitate the small children by pinching them. Then, when the children begin crying, Krishna will go away. So, this is, Srila Prabhupada referred to this 10th canto. He called it the summum bonum, right? The summum bonum means the ultimate conclusion. So, this is the ultimate conclusion of God realization is cowherd men and women chasing Krishna around Vrindavan, while Krishna goes into their houses, steals their pots of yogurt and butter, breaks the pots, feeds the monkeys, and pinches little children to make them cry. So, this is the highest love. The highest love. The love that... the love and the knowledge that all the different scriptures of the world are referring to is here. This is a direct manifestation of that love. This is how love for God is shown by the residents of Vrindavan, by their reciprocation with Krishna. Right? Krishna likes to play, Krishna likes to enjoy, and the residents of Vrindavan, they absolutely reciprocate with his desire for pleasure in those various rasas which are prominent in Vrindavan. Now, the question is, from our point of view, from my point of view anyway, is how do we get from here to there? Right? How do we go from being... Anyway, I'm just speaking for myself. Personally, I shouldn't even be here. I certainly shouldn't be sitting on this seat, and I certainly shouldn't be speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam. But, you know, Nanda asked me, and like a fool, I said yes. So here I am. But, speaking for myself, there's a long way to go between where I am right now and anything like understanding these pastimes. It's interesting that Srila Prabhupada often in his books, many places in the purport, Srila Prabhupada will talk about how difficult it is to understand Krishna's pastimes, right? Many times he says it's very difficult to understand. But if you just read Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, you just read it and you get the purports. In one sense, it's difficult to realize, but it's not difficult to understand if you just accept what Prabhupada's saying, right? So when Prabhupada says it's difficult to understand, if you if you're trying to come at it from a mundane point of view, let's say a person in the street, let's say a scholar or an academic, if you present this to them, or a religious person, anyone, if you present this to them and tell them that this is the highest realization of the absolute truth, this is the highest, this is the quintessential, the essence of God realization, they'll find that difficult to understand, right? They'll find it unbelievable. But for anyone who accepts Prabhupada, right, it's actually very easy to understand because you're understanding it through the eyes of the pure devotee. Right? Prabhupada says, continuously, you have to understand Krishna's pastimes by hearing from pure devotee. Right? So Prabhupada's purports, these are the comment, right? Which is the commentary of a pure devotee. So he's presented it in such a way that if you just accept it as he's giving it, without that kind of ego, without that false pride, then it immediately has an effect on the heart. Right? That's why people come. That's why people, take up Krishna consciousness. Because Prabhupada, through his love, he's imbued these books with his prema. So therefore, when people read this, they accept. That's if they accept it as Prabhupada's teaching, right? As he's explaining. If you don't accept it as Prabhupada's giving it, or in other words, if you don't accept the acharyas, then it becomes inconceivable. Like Chabhuvanath Prabhu, he used to say that God has a problem. Remember Prabhupada saying that? He said, God has a problem, right? He would say, if God comes to the world and doesn't do anything, or if he behaves like an ordinary person, then everybody will say, well, he's just an ordinary person. Right? Nobody will accept him as divine. But if God comes to this world and performs extraordinary activities, then people will say it's just mythology. Right? So Srimad Bhagavatam is full of extraordinary activities of Krishna. Like lifting Govardhan Hill, killing demons, etc. So if somebody reads that from a mundane perspective, they're going to say, well, it's just mythology. No, it's just stories. So so what's Krishna supposed to do? If he comes and does something extraordinary, then it's mythology. If he comes and performs ordinary activities, then he's just an ordinary person. So for someone who's mundane in their thinking, or actually someone who doesn't accept the acharya's version, they'll never understand. But for somebody who who simply accepts, right? It's all right. I got two cups of water. That's fine. Thank you. Right. In Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada mentions that someone who has the tendency to hear from authorities, right? Someone who has the tendency to hear from authorities, they can understand Krishna. So actually, that's the qualification, right? So anyway, the path from here to there is, right, Nava Anga Bhakti. So Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Achanam, Mandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, right? Or, in Nectar of Devotion, we have the verse... Is Adoshvata, Tasadhu, Sangha, Bhajanakriya, etc. Right? So this is the process, this is the path. So it begins with faith. So if a person takes Prabhupada's word, takes a book, right, hears Prabhupada's teachings, they get some initial faith. And then from that initial faith, they desire to associate with devotees, right? Sadhu Sangha. And then Bhajanakriya, they perform a regulative devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master. So then, hopefully, after some performance of Bhajanakriya, you have this process of anartha nivritti, when the anarthas are removed from the heart. When you get through that anartha nivritti stage, then you should eventually reach the stage of nishta, when you're fixed in your practices. Which leads to taste, right? Which leads to attachment, which leads to bhav, which leads to prem. So it's a long road, right? It's a long road. It's not an easy thing. But I'm just gonna. But the hearing of these pastimes, is actually the a very profound way to develop God consciousness, right? Vishnu Smaranam. So for a yogi, may have to do like thousands of years of austerities, try and meditate on the super soul. But for a devotee, you just hear Srimad Bhagavatam, right? You hear about Krishna's pastimes. And it's very easy to understand, and it's very easy to remember. Everybody knows in India, everyone knows Makhan Chor, Nanda Kishore. I have a 4-year-old daughter, right? So she heard about Krishna stealing butter in nursery. And she comes home and she's trying to get into the fridge to steal the butter. Right? She's like, I'm going to be Krishna. I'm going to be like Krishna. So she's getting a spoon and trying to take butter out of the fridge. Right? So it's that simple. Right? So she's now thinking about Krishna. Right? They have this cartoon, right? Little Krishna. So she watches that. And there's all Krishna's childhood pastimes there. Because kids love watching cartoons, so all the Krishna's pastimes are there. And she sits there and she watches that, and then she's like, she's playing Krishna. She's playing Krishna killing the demons, she's playing Krishna milking cows and all that, right? So, as Srila Prabhupada said, even a child can take part, right? So, it really is that simple. You hear about Krishna's pastimes, and you remember them. And by remembering Krishna's pastimes, you gradually develop attachment for them. And that attachment, over time, through purification of the heart, in the association of devotees, in the association of pure devotees, I should say, develops into the higher stages of bhakti. So, it's simple, but it's not easy. But again, it begins with faith, right? The very first point is faith. So that faith is not always... Faith is actually a very fragile thing, especially at the beginning. Like, a person's faith is a very fragile thing. So if there are, let's say, difficulties in a person's spiritual life, then that faith can very easily be broken. Like in the past in ISKCON, people have had problems. Their gurus have left, fallen down, things like that. And their faith has been broken. And as a result of that, you know, people have obviously given up spiritual life. Because that faith is a very fragile thing at the beginning. So, faith is fundamental in any relationship, right? So here in the temple, we're trying to create Prabhupada's idea was to create a society which is free from envy, right? So, a Vaishnava society, a community of devotees, it depends on a lot of faith. We have to have faith in each other, right? So, in some circles, you might say there's a crisis of faith in ISKCON. A lot of people are lacking faith. People who, like I said, people have had guru problems. Some people have a lack of faith in authority figures. Some people just have a natural distrust of anybody who's in a position of authority, right? But some people, due to bad experiences, they've lost their faith in authority figures. So that faith in authority figures is very important for practicing spiritual life. Obviously, you have to have absolute faith in the guru. Right? You have to have absolute faith in the guru. And you also have to have faith in the devotees who are around you. To create a society which is based on love, there has to be faith, right? There has to be trust. So if you don't have trust, if we don't have trust in the people around us, or in our, you know, superiors, then if there's no trust, there's no love. There's no question of developing love if there's no trust, right? So, I wanted to give an example, just a small example, of how a certain kind of dysfunction can develop within a community. All right, I'm not bringing this up in any way to criticize anybody, but it's just an example of how there can be a disconnect in a community. Right? So we know they're building the Haveli over here, right? So in order to build the Haveli, they have to, part of the school, part of the Gurukul is being destroyed, and there's going to be construction going on, right? So there was going to be, the original plan was that the kids would stay in the school, and while the construction was going on, and it was all very complicated, how they're going to, you know, from a health and safety point of view, you're going to have all these kids running around, and the whole place is a building site, right? So they were having a meeting about this, they were discussing it, management with the contractors, how they were going to safeguard the children while the construction is going on, right? So somebody mentioned in that meeting that there's another building, you know, this building behind the Hilton, what's it called? I don't know, Hilton House or whatever it's called. Right? Anyway, that building which is behind the Hilton Hotel. So when the contractors heard about that, they said, oh, well, this is perfect then. You can just move the kids over there. They can use that building while the construction's going on. Then when the construction's going on, you can bring the kids back, right? So that was decided. That was what they were going to do. That was the plan. So then they had a meeting over at the Goshala. Gauri Prabhu was heading the meeting, and he was explaining this to all the parents of the kids, you know, whose kids are in the Gurukul. And it's actually a perfectly reasonable solution to a problem. Like, there's nothing wrong with the solution. It's fine. It's actually, under the circumstances, it's actually the best solution to the problem. But a lot of the parents rejected the idea. They didn't like it. They said, well, we want our kids just to be in the temple, you know, no matter what. So Gauri was saying, look, this is the best solution, right? Your kids will be safe, they'll be there for 2 years, then they can come back after the construction's finished. But still, a lot of the parents, they didn't want to accept that idea, right? Now, the point is that the reason why a certain group of those parents didn't want to accept it is simply because they didn't have faith in the authorities, right? It's nothing to do with the idea itself, right? The idea itself is actually perfectly reasonable, and it is actually genuinely the best solution to the problem. But because those people, those devotees, had a certain lack of trust in temple authority structure, then they rejected the idea, right? So the reason why I'm mentioning this is because that lack of faith can cause like unnecessary problems. Even in a, let's say this is a material thing, right, creating a building. But if there's a lack of faith in the community, so a lack of faith is basically based on a lack of communication, right? There's a certain, like in that situation, there was a certain inherent distrust. There was a kind of a feeling like amongst the parents that, oh, the temple don't like the children, they don't want the children to be in the temple. There's all this kind of stuff going on in the back of the minds, right? So it creates this disconnect, right? And if there's a disconnect in the community, it makes it impossible to have real loving relationships amongst the devotees. Right? What it means is that you get a kind of a cliquey thing where there's different cliques, different little groups of devotees, maybe different temple departments. They associate with each other, but other people, they'll associate with people that they do service with. But it means that we don't get together as one community. It means that we're not, you know, whole as a community. So Srila Prabhupada's idea, and you can see to a large extent in Srila Prabhupada's time, that there was one focus for ISKCON because it was all focused on Prabhupada. Right? Prabhupada was the only focus. Everybody loved Prabhupada. Everyone had faith in Prabhupada. So the society functioned very well. There was a lot of faith. Right? But after Prabhupada's time, that faith became, you know, placed in different people, the faith was broken. But it makes it difficult for a society like ISKCON to be powerful if people, the members, the devotees, are not one-pointed in their focus. Right? If they don't have faith first, and if they don't have this kind of one-pointed thing, like Prabhupada's mission was to spread Krishna consciousness, right? So if everybody's on the same page, if we all think we're all spreading Krishna consciousness, if we're all working together, if there's a sense that we're all doing the same thing, then there'll be a sense of unity amongst the members of that society. Right? Like I used to go on the Polish tour. On the Polish tour, you're talking about, say, 250 devotees, and they're all there for one thing, for one purpose, which is to get the festival done every day. So they go on Harinam every day. They give out flyers, somebody's cooking, somebody's doing whatever it is, but they're all focused on that festival each day. Whereas whereas in a community like this, it can become a little bit, you know, people have their different focuses. They don't necessarily feel connected. Somebody working in the Goshala doesn't necessarily feel connected to somebody who's working in an office. And, you know, somebody who's distributing books doesn't necessarily feel connected to somebody who's in the Pujari department. Right? So it's very important in a Vaishnav community to have togetherness, to have unity, right? It's very important. Because if we all feel like we're together, part of one thing, we may have different services, we may have different departments that we work in, we may have friends, right, different friends, But we should all feel like we're part of one thing. It should be inclusive, right? So, the way that you can create an inclusive society is by communication, right? So, for example, you can have Ishtagoshti. Right? Devotees can sit down and, you know, talk together. And really, you know, devotees can feel free to speak their mind, express their opinions, share their views, say whatever they feel, what's in their heart, maybe whatever difficulties they're having. Right? But in an open way, without fear of criticism, right? I remember, like, well, 20 years ago now, Sitaram started having, do you remember? Sitaram started doing Ishtagoshtis on a Sunday morning. And I don't know, I don't remember how long, it didn't last very long. I can't remember, maybe a few weeks. But the idea was that each Sunday morning, devotees wouldn't get together and have an Ishtagoshti. And personally, I think it's a very good idea to do something like that. That if you have, you know, devotees can share their concerns. So senior devotees can come, managerial devotees can come, and they can talk to the devotees. Devotees can share their feelings, share their views, talk about things, you know, communicate. So if devotees are able to do that, if devotees are able to communicate, discuss, feel free, feel that they can say what's on their mind without fear, then you can actually create a society based on love. You understand? If people feel fear, if they don't feel like they can be heard, if they don't feel like they can speak out, then they won't feel connected to the community. And then this love that we're talking about, we're all looking for love, right? We're all here for love. We talk about love of God. But that love of God starts with faith. And it starts with sadhu sangha, right? And we can say, well, sadhu sangha means associating with the pure devotee, or it means associating with Prabhupada through his books or whatever. But we have to associate with each other. And we have to develop loving dealings with each other, right? So these loving dealings, like if we share love, loving dealings amongst ourselves in a community, then that softens the heart, right? That causes the heart to soften. If there's a lack of trust, if people have bad experiences, if people feel hurt or afraid, then this is what causes a hardening of the heart, right? People isolate themselves from the community, they isolate themselves from the devotees, and that in turn causes them to isolate themselves from Krishna, right? Whereas, if we can have loving dealings amongst ourselves, then again, it softens the heart, right? And once the heart becomes softer, we can open the heart gradually to Krishna. So it's very important to have loving dealings amongst Vaishnavas, dealings which are free from fear, free from envy, etc. And this is very important. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada attracted people to himself by his love. Right? Srila Prabhupada didn't... The people who joined Srila Prabhupada, especially in the early days, they were attracted to him because of his love, right? Because of his compassion. They could see that he had love. They could see that he had, like, genuine compassion for them. It's not that, you know, they were necessarily attracted. Some of them were philosophically inclined. Some of them were interested in the philosophy, in the books. But most of them is this personal example, this personal feeling, this love, right? And you can't imitate love, right? It's, you can imitate, like Srila Prabhupada could be heavy, right? Srila Prabhupada could be strict. Srila Prabhupada could chastise devotees. And you can imitate that, right? You can imitate Prabhupada's heaviness. You can imitate Prabhupada's mannerisms. You know what I mean? You can do this with your hands and say, what is this? Isn't it, right? Like devotees especially used to in the past, right, in the giving class. Right, you can imitate those things. You can imitate the externals, right? But you can't imitate love. Right? Love is a genuine thing that comes from the heart, right? And if you have that love, then people will be attracted to that. So people came to Prabhupada because of his love. So if we create a society amongst ourselves, which is full of love, right? If we have love for one another, like genuine love for one another, and we express that love, you know, according to, you know, the Upadeshamrita, then people will be attracted, right? People will see that actually, look at these people, you know, they have such a lovely society of people, you know, such kindness, right? They'll see such kindness that we, you know, which we show each other such kindness, we show each other such love and affection and friendliness, right? Then people will be attracted. People won't be able to keep away. People will come here once and they'll be like, wow, this is amazing. You know, people come here and they like it. They think it's very nice. Generally what they say is it's very peaceful, right? When people come here for the first time, they say, oh, it's so peaceful. And they sense the devotion. If you bring someone to the temple for the first time, they can feel the devotion towards the deity because the deity is so well-dressed and, you know, decorated and everything, right? They can sense that devotion. But what people often feel is... what they don't feel is that much attention paid to them as a person. You know, a lot of people kind of wander around on their own, or people feel a little bit neglected. So, yeah, with love, people will be genuinely attracted. This sense of giving, right? This sense of giving is, you know, that's what Krishna consciousness is all about, isn't it? To give Krishna to others. But also to give of yourself, right? It's not just, well, we give Krishna, so here's a book, you know, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But we give of ourselves, right? You give yourself to someone. That's yajna. It's actually to give of yourself, to give yourself to Krishna, but also to give yourself to the Vaishnavas, right? To give yourself to the Vaishnavas, to the community. Just as an example of that, I went to the hospital once with Indra Dumaswamy. There was one in Poland. There was one disciple of Indra Dumaswamy. She was like really hard working. She was working for years on the Polish tour. She got sick, and she was in hospital. So Indra Dumaswamy took a group of us to the hospital, and you know, just to visit her. And this she was a young lady, but she was in a ward full of old women. It was one of those wards. I think there was about maybe 10, 12 beds in the room. And they're all full of these very old women who were just sitting there kind of lonely, lying in their beds, you know. And then we all turned up, maybe like 8 or 10 of us, you know, with the robes on, and Indra Dumaswamy's there, and there's this girl in the bed, and, you know, they're looking around like, what's going on here, you know. So Indra Dumaswamy, actually Gaurangi was there, he gave Gaurangi some money, and said, go and get some flowers. Go and buy some flowers, right? So she went out, bought a big bunch of flowers. And then Indra Dumaswamy went around, and he gave flowers to all the women, all these old women in their hospital beds. He gave them all flowers, right? And these old women, they were just, their hearts melted. They were totally charmed. They were saying, oh, you know, even my own family don't come and visit me, but you're giving me these flowers. And then he started having like an impromptu festival right there in the hospital ward. He started, like, he had someone come up and say, oh, we're the Hare Krishnas, you know, this is our tilak. And he's like, we wear these clothes. This is a dhoti, this is a sari, this is what we do. Right there in the hospital ward, right? So if you're in that mood of giving, then it's a constant thing, right? It's just something which is constantly going on. Whereas, you know, if we're in the mood of, you know, if we don't really have that strong faith, or if we feel afraid, or if we feel hurt, or whatever it is, then we can't give love, right? If we don't feel love, we can't give that love. So it's very important that we create a society which makes us feel loved, right? When people come to the temple, they should feel loved. Especially when people join, you know, give their lives to Krishna, then they should feel loved. And then we'll be able to give that love to people, right? We'll be able to share that love. And then it'll be lovely. So, all right, I've got lots of other things written down here, but I won't go on. It's getting late. So thank you very much. If anyone has anything else to say, otherwise, go and have your breakfast. Hare Krishna.